Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all the all sparkly, spanky clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Beatles, music, wine, and then lube up and get on top.
The glory hole is like a dick theater. I've imagined your family.
Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime.
We're not sluts.
We just love love.
Join us on The Wet Coast, a podcast about sexuality and ethical non-monogamy of every variety. We talk polyamory and swinging, monogamous and open relationships, from dirty, dirty sex to heartbreak and everything in between. We share our personal experiences and philosophy, observations and theories, what works for us, and where we fucked it right up. This isn't your average couple's explanabrag podcast, though we definitely do a little of that. We share our adventures in open with a unique, funny, feminist, and Canadian approach. Come get wet with us on the Wet Coast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in podcast land. This is Mrs. Atom, and I am joined by not Mr. Atom tonight. Instead, it is...
The gentleman. Hello, everybody.
Hi, the gentleman. Admittedly, Mr. Adam is, I don't know, somewhere around. He'll join us eventually, you know, when he feels like it.
Yeah. He's gone wandering.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a big place to wander, but that's all right. He's around.
Yeah.
So we thought we would mix it up for you this week and bring the gentleman back because, you know, who doesn't love the gentleman? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
really?
Come on, please.
Yeah.
What character am I?
What?
From Bob's Burgers?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You were... I'd have to get my phone, which is way over there.
That's way too far.
Yeah, no. Mm. We'll ask Bradford when he comes back.
Yeah, he'll know.
Yeah. Yes, so the gentleman is joining us this evening. And like I said, Mr. Adam will be... coming in at some point here shortly. But we thought we would go to the Wayback Time Machine.
Hello, Mr. Adam.
Hi.
Kisses. Sorry.
Gave me goosebumps.
Did everybody get those kisses out there?
Hi.
Do we need more kisses?
Oh, that's it. Even it out. I've got goosebumps on both arms.
Yeah.
All right, way back time machine.
Diddle-doo,
wow, don't choke yourself.
The time machine's a little bit rusty.
Or at least not yet, right?
Right. Okay, yes.
That is a time machine. It's going forward in time.
Oh, jeez. Focus, people, focus.
It's funny. You got to admit, it's funny.
A little bit, but focus.
All right,
so we're going in the Wayback Time Machine to a little while ago when the gentleman came over and Mr. Atom...
Hi, peoples.
Yes, he's now joining us officially. Hi. So the gentleman came over and Mr. Atom was in puppy mode or, you know, fox mode, if you will. But I would say that night you were much more puppy.
It's true.
Yeah, because foxes tend to, they can be a little feisty and whatnot, but that night you were in just kind of a nice, chill, relaxed kind of mode. You had the collar on. You look like you wanted to say something, gentlemen.
Well, you got into that mode before I even got here.
It's true. I was in Depeche mode.
In Depeche mode? What is that?
Oh, come on. Really? Depeche mode?
No.
Alexa, play Depeche mode.
Shuffling songs by Depeche mode from Spotify.
Oh. Yeah. Oh yeah, music the fuck by, baby.
Oh, it's got a good rhythm.
Yeah. Alexa, stop. Okay, so anybody who's listening that at home, like, if you're brave enough to listen to this at home on a speaker, I'm sorry for that.
For everything, yeah. You should be. For the past 4 minutes.
I'm not sorry for everything. Why would I be sorry for the past 4 minutes? I was only here for the last minute and a half.
Mm-hmm.
What? Anyway, yes, so I was in...
You were already in Depeche mode.
Yes. Puppy mode.
Depeche mode.
But when I well done. Knocked on the door, Angela answered the door.
Mm-hmm.
And you were dressed in... is it latex or PVC?
Mm-hmm.
And it has the zipper down the front. And it was just sort of undone at the point where your cleavage was just sort of hello.
Well, yeah.
As soon as I...
And your eyes, that's great.
It was just, yeah. Don't these microphones pick up facial expression?
That would be a vodcast, not a podcast.
Oh, yes, okay.
Yeah.
A vlog, if you will.
Ooh. Right.
Well, yeah. I've had a few vlogs over the memories of that night, I think. Is it a V or an F? I'm not sure. But when I answered the door, it was really strange for me because when I walked in, you know, like I was...
You usually just walk in yourself. Sorry, go ahead.
But I was in, like, you know, civilian clothing and I walked in and... You know, Bradford had his collar on and he was all quiet and submissive. And Angela was just like, vroom, like, wow. Okay, Angela's in charge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm way overdressed. This was my first thought, like, well, aside from boobies.
Hello, tits.
Yeah, it was good to walk into that. It was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I
keep looking over the door.
Like she might come from outside. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Do I need to go outside and come back in?
Maybe, I don't know. Unzip the...
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lower.
How is this baby? God, this is great.
Oh my god, I apologize to everyone out there.
Nope.
It's going to be like this for probably the next hour.
Sorry, not
probably.
Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry, not yeah. Sorry. Saws, not saws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was fun though, because it was one of those nights that I think that Bradford kind of needed to be in that headspace, and because it does take you to a different place when you have the collar on and when you're in kind of puppy or kit mode, whatever it may be, it does put you in a different headspace, and it kind of you're very quiet, you're very submissive,
which is unlike me. I'm normally submissive, but I'm not normally quiet.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, and that was very different as well, because you're the opposite of quiet normally, but you were
what
very
are you saying, gentlemen. Yeah.
But you were very quiet that night, and it was. Fun to see you like that, too.
I thought you were going
to
say it was nice. I was going to walk over there and smack you.
No, it was fun. It was good.
It's different, you know. So it's hard to explain what the headspace is, but the headspace is different.
Because we often hear it called subspace. So how would you describe that?
I don't know. It's hard to explain. So for me, look... I think we all have work, we all have lives, we all have the responsibilities that we feel like we are obligated to during the day. when I'm kind of in that headspace, it allows me to not be obligated to the stuff that I feel like on a daily basis I'm supposed to be obligated to, whether it's my own putting myself there or if it's real or not, real or perceived, I guess I should say. So like when he comes in and I'm already in that headspace, it is sort of one of those things where, you know, I know you and I have watched comedies where I don't even laugh at the jokes.
Mm-hmm. So if he comes into that situation, are you then putting yourself sub to him as well?
Yes.
So you're putting yourself sub to pretty much anyone who's in the room.
On that night, I would say yes. Yeah. But I would say that's not necessarily
always the case. Yeah.
So for me, it's one of those things that I'm only sub to people I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that I'm dominant to people I don't like. It's not like that.
Mm, right.
But for you two, who I care about a lot, it's easy for me to sort of turn off that reality kind of thing. And so then it's easy for me to become sub to you because I know that you're going to take care of me. I trust you completely. I know that neither one of you are going to do something that hurts me, either physically or emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy for me to sort of get into that headspace of, I'm going to let somebody take care of me. And I think ultimately that's what it is it's a trust of knowing that I'm in a headspace where nobody is in this circle, nobody in this group is going to allow harm to come to me.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And at the same time, you're taking away that control that you have to have over your everyday life and everyday decisions that you've, like you say, at work and at home and all those calls that you have to make during the day.
Yeah.
At that point in time, you're just doing what you're told to do. And it's take away all of that.
Because the everyday stuff can be really stressful, but that gives you a chance to kind of just let go and relax a bit almost.
Yeah. You know, and I look at this and I can understand and see where this isn't much different than probably, you know, infant play or you know, general sub play, like a true dom sub play. In that, as a sub, or as a pet, or as a baby, you're giving your control to somebody else, and they're making the decisions for you. I'm not making any decisions. I'm not responsible for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So if things go pear-shaped, it's not my problem. You're the controller.
Yeah.
Either the handler, or you're the dom, or you're the parent. And it's your job to make sure that things go.
That was another thing that I really liked about the night too. I keep looking over at the door.
You do. It's really kind of funny and adorable.
It was again too because you were cooking.
Yeah.
And when I walked in, Andrew and I came and sat on the lounge, and you were in there cooking dinner. You hadn't finished that yet, but I remember it was. You know, you were asked to do things like, Bradford, can you get this? Bradford, can you do that? And it was like, yes. Like, there wasn't even no reply of yes. It was just, do it. And I actually kind of admired that a little bit. It was like, oh, that would be nice. You know, that's like you say, you don't have to orchestrate that. You don't have to be in control of really anything. You just get told what to do, and it's like, yeah, okay, I can do that.
And you look, I will admit, I don't think it's for everybody, but there is something really comforting, like a warm, cuddly blanket, to not have to think I need to do something. And for me, I look at Angela and I'm like, she's in control. That's a lot of fucking work. It's effort to say, I want this, you should do this. You know, it's effort to both come up with that. It's effort to put it out there and say, this is what I want. And it's effort to do something if it doesn't happen the way it's supposed to happen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would agree. It is a bit of work and effort to basically control everything in all scenarios and to deal with what comes up. But I would say that's what I like about it, though, is that I am orchestrating what's happening. If there are surprises or situations that I may not have foreseen or thought was how this was going to go, but it happens anyway, I can deal with that. I can make it work. I can adjust for it. And that's part of the challenge as well.
I was going to say, is that part of the excitement as well?
It is. It is, because it's a bit of a challenge, and so it can be fun. And even though I know that he's going to obey me, and I know that he's going to do what needs to be done, and or whatever the situation calls for, whatever I tell him to, it may not happen exactly like I plan it in my head. And it may not be exactly what I think it's going to be. But either way, that's again, part of the challenge and part of the fun is to adjust and make it happen. And I would say as well for me, it is, I know how much comfort and how nice it is for him, that release that he has to give up that control and to let someone else make the decisions, because that's not his strong suit. And for someone else
it's true.
To make those decisions and to say, either this is what we're having for dinner, or you're going to do this, or you're going to go get me a napkin, or you're just going to lay there, or I'm going to pet you, or maybe you need some scritches right now, or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, when we went to the bedroom, you said,
we're
just
gonna
sit,
get
just
to
sit
that.
In the front. No, it was like, yeah, and he did a little circle and sat down.
But it is just being able to make those, just make the decisions and to tell him and to kind of control what happens. And I would say it's not entirely about control, but it is him being comfortable enough to give up that the
safety of control.
The safety, yeah.
So,
and I would say that for me, knowing that you're that comfortable with it and that you trust me to that extent, and I want to make this a good and a safe and a fun environment for you and enjoyable, that all of that kind of weaves into what's going to happen tonight and how is this going to play out, because I want to make sure that it's enjoyable for me, it's enjoyable for you, and it's relaxing enough for you as well, because that's part of it, is it's a chance for you to get away from the stressors and from the daily stuff and just to relax and let go.
So I'll also add that a lot of, you know, I know a lot of people who do pet play get aroused from pet play. Mm-hmm. For me, it's not an arousal thing. It's not foreplay. It's not a sex thing, really. The arousal that I get from it is the fact that I'm forced to be quiet. So when it becomes a sexual thing, it is sort of like this burst of sexual energy, because I'm taking all of the energy that I normally do in talking and I'm focusing it on something. And that's that instant freedom, that snap of freedom that she's like, fuck me. And I'm like, all right, cool. That's what I'm going to do. So playing the animal doesn't turn me on. It's not an arousal thing for me. For me, what I get out of it is that it's a relaxation thing. It's a therapy of being quiet and sort of, again, not having to make hard decisions or any decisions.
Any decisions, yeah.
Almost meditative.
It is. It's a very meditative kind of headspace.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun, though, because that night, so the gentleman came in, and like he said, you finished cooking dinner. We sat and ate dinner. You sat on the floor at our feet and ate dinner.
I will say I ate dinner not like an animal.
No,
I used a knife and
you
fork.
Did. You
that's
ate.
That's not everybody, but for me.
That's true. Yeah, so you did eat off of a plate. You ate like a human would. Some people, when they do pet play, the pet will eat out of a bowl on the floor, you know, like an animal.
Which I wouldn't be against, to be honest. I mean, I wouldn't want to.
Depending on the meal.
Yeah, I don't want you to mix my food together. Look, if I'm fucking making your food, I get to eat it the way I want to. That's all I'm saying.
So what you're saying is we need a divided pet bowl.
Yes. And then I don't have to cook that night.
Right. All right. All right. We can work on this. You can make this happen. Yeah, but it you sat on the floor at our feet and ate your dinner, and we both sat on the couch. So it wasn't at a table or anything, but we both sat on the couch and ate dinner. And so the gentleman and I, we were conversing and talking through dinner and normal stuff, and you were very silent. It was unusual. I'm used to you in that headspace, but for the three of us, as far as the dynamic between the three of us, it was very different.
It was unusual,
yeah.
And that was, it wasn't strange unusual. It was just part of the night. It wasn't like, oh, why is he not talking? It was, you know, like,
yeah.
Because we all understood that's the space that you were in. So
Because we had warned you ahead of time, right?
Yeah.
Was it comfortable or uncomfortable?
It wasn't uncomfortable. Mm. It wasn't usual.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's how I would probably describe it. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I don't think it was uncomfortable.
Okay. Yeah, so then after we finished dinner and got plates cleared, I don't think it took very long for the gentleman and I to start making out.
Yeah.
It usually doesn't.
Must have been 10:25 at that point.
Seconds.
Yeah. You two are like animals. You're like sexy high school people. Like, well, we've been talking for a grand total of 10 seconds. We should start making out and then dry humping. Like, I'm the animal on the floor, but you two are the ones that are humping each other's legs. Just saying.
Yeah. Can't deny.
Yeah, just saying.
No. But yeah, so I think we started making out on the couch and just kind of fooling around.
Yeah.
And then it became very obvious that we needed to escalate this. And so gentleman and I went down to the bedroom. You were told to follow. You did follow very nicely. And we got down to the bedroom. And would you like to tell your segment again that you've already spoiler alerted?
Oh, yeah.
People?
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because it was interesting because we went into the bedroom and you had a collar on. I can't remember if you did have a leash as well.
No.
You must have had it by the
We only hand. Really do the leash if we're out. Okay. But if we're at home, it's usually just a collar.
Yeah. You must have had him by his hand or something because I can remember you sort of pulling him and
she had having him by the scruff of my neck.
Oh, okay. And yeah, you just sort of said, sit down in the corner. You can sit down in the corner.
Sit, yeah.
Yeah. And I think you sort of did a bit of a twirl and sat, like, and sat down. And
I don't remember that, but I did. That does sound
and
like
I
me.
Thought, oh, that's so cute.
And I piddled in the corner, and you're like, I'm going to have to rub your nose in that, aren't you? I'm not that bad. I'm not. Just make that sure that people know I'm joking.
He did not piddle in the corner. It was in the middle of the bed.
This is mine. This is mine. I don't even know what this is, but it's mine.
It's all me.
And did we you go lose silent. Your train of thought?
Yeah, of course. I was just trying to remember what happened next. Cause...
Well, I know for me, it was one of those things that, honestly, I think people listening will think I'm fucking nuts. I could have fallen asleep. That's how disinterested I was in what was going on. Because again, it goes back to the headspace. I'm in a headspace of, I'm completely disconnected from what's going on around me.
Because you were there, you were given nothing to do.
Yeah.
So it was.
And so I think I could have laid there while you guys fucked and went to sleep. Mm-hmm. And I would have been absolutely okay with that. Which, I even saying it sounds weird. But at the same time, I know that's true.
It's what it was.
It's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, because the gentleman and I, we started making out on the S.
That's right.
Yeah, so we started there, and you were on the floor next to the S, kind of in the corner.
In the closet.
Not in the closet.
You put me in the closet!
Were you?
Yes!
I thought you were just, like, outside the closet.
No, the closet door was open, and I could stay in the closet and stick my head out and watch what was going on.
Awesome, okay.
And I was out of the way.
Yeah,
and I could
that's
also,
true,
you know,
are.
Yeah. I could doze. Mm-hmm. It was great. I was in the closet. Last time I've been in the closet. First time since 2012.
Yeah, so we started making
right.
out
you,
on the
you
S.
You put me on the, yeah, on the S, yep. And that's when you got the little flogger and was hitting my testicles with that.
Yeah, the little baby one.
The little baby one, yeah. That was good.
I know.
Your eyes are like, you're no longer looking at the door, baby.
Yeah, I like to do that with you because... Well, I like to do it, and you actually enjoy it. Whereas I can't really do that with Bradford.
Hi!
He doesn't enjoy it.
Yes.
So, yeah. So it is nice to have
don't
someone
smack
that likes
my testicles that. And don't neuter me. That's my only rule as a pet.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've got the neutering thing as well. That's a hard rule, okay? Smack the shit out of him. No neutering.
Great.
Yeah. So yeah, we started doing a little bit of play like that. I think the paddle came out at one point.
The paddle did come out. That's right, because you had me bent over the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I do remember that. That's
yeah, because you dominated me a little bit there too, which was nice.
Yeah.
He's
very girl.
That's right. Yeah, you had me put my arms out on the bed and
spread eagle,
bent over the bed. And I think then you did go to Bradford and you petted him for
I
a little
him
bit.
I gave him some scritches. Yeah. Because everybody needs some love and some pets. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you told me to stay where I was. So I was too scared to move.
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's possible.
Possible nothing. That sounds exactly like you.
Probable, yeah.
Probable.
Yeah. So yeah, you were bent over the bed, and there was some paddling and some spanking. Don't think the flogger came out at that point. I don't think that was not like the real flogger. I don't think
so. No, not the real flogger, no.
And then after a little bit, like once we had gotten some of the impact play out of the way and I was ready to move on, I put you on the S. And yes. After I put you on the S, that's when I pulled Bradford out and told him to get on the bed. So I made him lay down on the bed. So he got up and laid down there because that way, so basically for people, most people out there in podcast land who don't know, the S is at the end of the bed and it's parallel to the bed. And then there's mirrors on the wall opposite. So as Bradford was laying on the bed, he could see us playing on the S, and then there's the mirrors beyond that. And that's why I wanted him up there so he could see all of that. Yeah, yeah, and have that view. So it's a different perspective. So yeah, I told him to get up on the bed and to watch us. And you did. You turned around so that you were facing the S.
Yes.
And laid down on the bed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
how was that from your point of view?
I'm going to be absolutely honest. I don't remember any of this.
I think he just laid down and kind of almost went to sleep.
It is one of those things that I say this, and it's boring from my point of view, because honestly, the best part of my point of view is I have no point of view. I know that sounds weird to say that, but it's like I don't...
But again, that was the headspace that you were in.
That's my headspace. I don't have to worry about anything. Yeah. I remember being put in the closet. I remember her telling me to get on the bed. I vaguely remember her bending you over the bed. But really... I'm just sort of there.
Yeah.
It's weird. And I know it's like, it's boring to hear it, but I'm pretty sure we could do the exact same thing tonight. And tomorrow I'd say about the exact same thing because all that's going on in my head is
meow, meow, meow.
Not even that. I'm not a kitten. But you know, it's that silence of nothing. And it's kind of like the ocean when you put a shell up to your ear. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And it's great.
But you can almost see that, though, in your face and in your mannerisms, because you are very calm, very serene.
Which is rare for me.
Yeah.
Both of those.
Yeah, but you are. It is just, you look like you are literally in a different world. Like, you're just not coherent or cognizant, and you just
and
look like
your posture is different too. Yeah. It's
really
like all the tension's gone.
Weird. See, that's to me what's weird is that sort of makes me think I should wear the collar to work. But then you know people don't want me chewing on the legs of their desks
or peeing in the corner.
In the corner.
Yeah.
All right, who did this on the conference room table?
Because I know when you got up on the bed and you laid down, you lay down, I mean, like a puppy would. Like, you kind of lay down, you put your head on your hands, like your paws, and you almost could have gone to sleep, it looked like.
Yeah.
And maybe you did, I don't know. But
it is. It's one of those things, I know it's weird, and I even saying it, I know it's weird, but it's like, I just sort of, I don't care. It didn't, there was, because it doesn't involve me. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like, it's so different, what you guys were doing was so different to what was going on in my head, that it didn't matter. It's no different than me watching, you know, space aliens build an ark kind of thing. You know, it's like, it doesn't affect me. There's nothing that really registers. And so, I know it's weird.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, because we played on the S for quite a while and you weren't actually tied down.
No, I was going to say,
Yeah, you weren't tied down to the S, but you were laying on the S, and we played around a bit there. You look like you want to say something.
Well, played around, tortured, either way. Perspective.
It is.
You played around, I was tortured.
It's very true, it's very true. He's right there. I think I was sleeping at this point, but I'm on his side. I gotta be honest.
But you like the torture.
If you'd put peanut butter on his ball, I'd probably lick him off.
Yes. yes.
I do like peanut
That's butter. What we did miss out on.
You didn't, I didn't lick your balls?
Yeah.
Because you didn't have peanut butter on them.
Well, there's an opportunity missed.
Next time.
Next time.
Yeah. Right note to self.
Dip your dick in a fine bourbon and I will go to fucking town.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Oh, I was just thinking straight away, is that going to hurt? It's probably worth it.
Your dick and bourbon?
Yeah.
Only if you have an open wound.
Yeah, for real. Oh, really? And if you have an open wound, I'm probably not going to go to town. Don't worry. This bourbon will clear that syphilis right up.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. What is it? The jock itch from Big Mouth.
Oh, God. Gentlemen, you should stop fucking your bath mat. But it's nice and wet and warm. Yeah. Great. Great.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Right, so we played, or I tortured you on the S for a while.
You played. Yep. You played.
I played. I mean, come on, if you're going to play the mouse, I can play the cat, right?
Those eyes. It's great. It's like, he's like, I want to say something, but I'm afraid she'll hit me again.
I was going to say, yeah, there's a pussy joke in there somewhere.
Well, you are what you eat, buddy.
Yeah, but yeah, I was going to say, all right, focus. I have to focus on like what was happening.
Focus.
Right. S.
So we're on the S.
Play, torture, yes. Basically, all of the supposed torture, so-called torture, ended up in me fucking you and writing you, which I have to say, when you're on the S, it puts you at just the right angle that, I mean, you feel amazing.
Oh.
Like, inside me. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but there's a certain angle when you're on it. It's because it's not like when you're on the bed, you're, you know, horizontal, but this puts you just up a little
bit. Up a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
It gets the angles good.
Yeah, it's really nice.
I just think it's great because the expression on his face, you were like, you feel amazing. He's like, oh, great. You feel like normal.
No, it's good because I was trying to figure out how is it different. But no, if you're on this different angle, yeah.
I'm sure it feels the same for you, but it's not the same for me.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. There's this thing called the G-spot.
Angles right.
Sometimes you have to hit that G-spot.
Where is that G-spot?
Yeah. And when you're angled just right, you can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
The S really helps. So if people on podcast land, go buy a Liberator S.
Oh, yes. Oh, and tell them that you heard about it from us. They don't know who we are, no. But God damn it, they'll learn.
They're going to learn, damn it.
Uh-huh. No, yeah.
I do love that S.
Yeah.
It is good. Yeah. It is very good.
Yeah, it's really nice. But yeah, I thought it was really nice, though, because after we finished fucking, we went to the bed and basically flanked. So we went on either side of Bradford and just kind of started petting him and cuddling. And that's right. You must have woken up at that point. because, yeah, you know, we were just kind of cuddling and petting and you know, paying him some attention because he was such a good boy during all of the play. And then it didn't take very long before the collar came off and Mr. Adam may have been attacked a little bit.
He was woken up.
I needed an adult.
But you were such a good boy. You needed to be rewarded for that.
Yay!
Yeah.
It's like when the puppy dog gets let out the front yard. It's just like...
Was I that bad?
No, actually not.
That's how I remember.
So yeah, fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really, I think overall it was a really interesting evening because for me personally, there are a lot of times that Bradford and I do kind of the puppy play and definitely dom play.
Yeah.
That happens quite frequently. Mm. And then same thing with you. But it was unusual for me because you were both submissive to me that night. And so it was, you know, Bradford in the puppy play kind of way. And then it was you in more of an impact play kind of dom sub kind of way. And so it was the two combined together and the fact that I was dominating both of you at the same time.
In different ways.
Right.
Yeah.
Which sounds like it would be challenging. It actually wasn't. Or at least it didn't feel challenging at the time. But hearing it now, I feel like, oh, that sounds like it could be a lot of work.
Yeah.
But it's actually, no, I didn't at all even realize that or think about it at the time.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Angela, pro dom.
It was just really, really easy and really nice, and I actually really, really enjoyed it. I liked having the different dynamics and kind of balancing the two, and yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah.
It was nice to take a nap. Lick myself.
It's nice to get tortured and then fucked on the ass. That was great.
No complaints on
this, Andy.
Yeah, I think overall, though, it was for all of us, it was the first time any of us had done anything like that to that extent.
It was definitely
in those realms.
Yeah. And well, I will say, it was the first time that I had allowed somebody other than Angela to see me in that sort of headspace.
Right.
And I think still, you're the only person who has really seen me in that headspace other than Angela.
Yeah.
Aww. Mm-hmm. Mwah. Mm. But you know, okay, that was weird. Okay, get that blown kiss out of your pants. You're just fucking disgusting. I love you, but God damn it. It was nice, and I like that ability to sort of turn my brain off and let me be that is.
Yeah.
It's still me. But it's not me.
It's a different you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, the day following, did you feel like, I imagine it's like after you get a massage and you walk out and go, oh God, that felt good. Is that the feeling that you get after being in that headspace?
So number one, the day after I get a massage, it's usually like, oh my God, why did I waste that money? And I mean, it was a great hand job, but why did I waste the money?
I mean, like a proper massage. We all get that feeling after those massages.
I think it takes me a couple of days to get back into that normal headspace of, well, this is me now kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
that's a good thing though, because
I would like to try, because that was only a few hours. I would like to attempt like a full four hours, because I think that was probably an hour and a half, 2 hours worth of that.
I would have said at least 2 to 2 hours.
Really? Because it didn't go, it felt
it was
like it went
all
by,
the way
like,
from dinner through play,
yeah,
beyond. Like, it was a long
How
time.
How long did you guys play?
We don't go quickly, dude. We like to take our time and enjoy and potentially torture our partners a little bit.
I'm glad you said partner, not victims.
He is a victim, no?
You should have seen how big his eyes got, waiting to see what I said.
Yeah, you should have seen how big his eyes got.
Oh, you boys.
What have you
boys.
Got?
Yeah. Yeah, but it does take me a while to get back into the normal, air quotes, normal headspace. I mean, I think within a few minutes, I'm back to communication like normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's more of a switch, like a light switch. But to get the tension back in does take a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's which nice. Is the appeal for it? Do you long to do it again?
It's funny because it's one of those things, yes and no. I like to do it, but the problem is it's so hard to get into that headspace because work life sucks. I mean, I think we all can agree with that.
Yeah.
That's why it's called work.
That's why it's called work and not play, exactly. And so, you know, as much as I want to get there, sometimes it's very difficult to get there. And sometimes I need that preparation, that mental preparation of 30 minutes to even an hour to sort of get into that true
to allow you
calm.
To allow yourself to switch off in that way.
Yeah.
But I also think that that's a bit of a fault of, I would say, mine or ours, in that it would, I think, benefit you to do it more often, but we allow other things to get in the way because of our social schedule is pretty full. And we don't necessarily prioritize perhaps our head spaces and mental spaces as much as we should potentially.
Yes.
And it could be that, you know, maybe we need to take the time to turn everything off, to just kind of be ourselves and just to go to that space, to allow you to be in that space, you know, more than we do, because we don't do it as often as we probably could or should potentially, because it does seem to benefit you, I would say, afterwards, at least for a few days. You seem to be in a better space. You seem to be a little more collected, almost in control. It does, I will say that there is a bit of an effect on you.
Yeah. But I think what you're saying is true of just about everybody out there. I think that a lot of us neglect our own headspace, and we neglect it for other people's, either our partners or our children's, our works, or people who we think matter more than us. And I think that's just a flaw that we all make.
I would agree.
There's always sacrifices you make for other people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we never,
despite yourself sometimes. Yeah.
We're always the last.
Yeah,
you know, our own selves. I think we're always the last people to that we look after, and I think that's a mistake. But I think it's something that even if we did it every other week for an hour, I think that would be kind of nice.
Yeah,
but I don't even think about it half the time, because even though it is that great release and that great sort of escape or escapism, it's not something that pops into my mind until you mention it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something, I know me, it's not something that I would ask for.
Right.
Because I don't think about it. But the second that I think about it, like right now, like I'm sort of excited about it. But, you know, it's getting kind of late, and I'm like, I don't want to start something that takes
a while.
Is
it something that you need permission to do?
It helps to have that permission to do it as well. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because, again, you're putting your responsibility into somebody else's hands.
Yeah.
And that's not something to be taken lightly.
No.
That's a big deal. You know, we see...
Yeah, you're handing that responsibility over. Yeah.
Yeah, and we've seen pets and handlers at, like, Hellfire.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that the handler is... They're under pressure. They're watching their pets. They're making sure that they're safe. They're making sure that they're, you know, happy. And it's a lot of pressure on the handler to do that.
Mm-hmm. Especially, so, speaking of Hellfire, I know that there are times that we've seen a handler with multiple pets. And that seems like that would be, I guess, depending on the dynamics amongst the pack and how the pets get along and the different headspaces of the pets. If they're all similar, it might be easy. Otherwise, that's a lot of pressure on the handler to then attend to each person's needs and desires, but at the same time, their own needs, but making sure that the pets are all getting what they need and that they're obeying and behaving as they should, which is also pressure then on the pets. But it just seems like once you get into that kind of pack environment, it seems like in theory it might be easier, but I think in reality it might be harder. But that's something we could potentially explore a bit more.
Yeah, and I will say, look, it is one of those things that there are people out there whose their job is walking dogs.
Yeah.
They're dog walkers.
Yeah.
And look, I know that humans aren't dogs, literally. But at the same time, when you turn yourself into that headspace, you're basically a dog. You're an animal that somebody else needs to take care of. And people who walk dogs for a living, they have a, you know, that's their job. That's what they do, and they do it well. So I think as a handler that you can handle 1 to 5, 6 animals, pets, and you'll be fine.
That sounds intriguing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just be happy I'm not a kitty. Kitties are destructive.
And they're little bitches.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I love them, but they can be little bitches.
Yeah, and they're destructive. They're they're playful, sure. They're fun, but they're always looking to destroy something and make something destroyed.
Mm-hmm. And you know, to walk around with a little bell on your neck anyway.
God, I would not. I would smack the hell out of that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd bat it, and it would be great. But then I'd get really pissed off. I'd rip it apart and probably chew it up.
Definitely.
Hashtag I'm a fox.
You're a fox, yeah.
I'm a kit.
Yes, you're a little troublemaker.
I am a little troublemaker, uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's, yeah, I like it. It's fun. It's relaxing, and it helps me chill out.
Yeah, I always think it's interesting just kind of how the play goes and the headspaces that you get into. And it's always a very different dynamic. Even though it is a bit of a dom-sub relationship, it's a very different way than impact play is. And it's, yeah, I love it, but it's a very different kind of, it's a different headspace for me even than for you.
Yeah, I hadn't had much experience with it at all, but I could even see it was different between myself and Bradford, the way you were treating us, obviously. But yeah, when you spoke to him or talked to him, it was still in a nice, it was in a very nice way. Yeah. It wasn't demanding or harsh. It was strict, but very loving at the same time, just the way you would with a good dog.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, I know it sounds silly, but it was, yeah, sit, you got a little pat, and there was that love and connection there. And then with me, it was a little bit, it was different from that, obviously.
It was sensual. It was,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was two very different types of play at the same time. I was thinking during the play that, yeah, you were doing such a great job in taking care of both of us, really.
Yeah. But it just, honestly, it just kind of felt natural, though. There wasn't, I don't feel like I had to really think about it or work at it or anything. It just came naturally. And I mean, you guys, it was fun because I like that, the different dynamics between the two.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's interesting because, you know, looking at pet play and information on pet play, often things that they cite are the degradation. That's what people like about it, is the degradation. You're forced to crawl on the floor. You're forced to eat out of a bowl. You're forced to drink out of a bowl. You're forced to not be able to interact. For me, it's none of that. I don't see it as degradating.
Degradation.
Easy for you to say.
Hard word for me to say. I don't see it as degradation. I see it as it's the opposite of that. It's that freedom of not having to do any of that stupid shit. You know, not having to be responsible, not having to adult, being allowed to crawl on the floor. Because let's be realistic, if an adult come into your apartment and suddenly started crawling on the floor, you would look at the person and go, what the hell's wrong with you? Get off the floor.
Yeah.
But there's something nice about being able to crawl on all fours and sort of have that freedom and the relaxation and the comfort and the safety to do that.
Yeah, but I would also say that it's not just for some people it may be degradation, but I think for you it is more the affirmation that you are good, that you're being
I do like that as well.
Yeah, that you're being,
I like being told I'm a good boy.
Yeah, that you're being a good boy. You're doing things right. You're doing what I want you to, and you're behaving well. And if you're not, then you get reprimanded. Yeah. But most often you do.
Yeah.
Because
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to say that's what I witnessed was the opposite of degradation. There was no, you're a bad boy, do this. It was the affirmation was definitely there.
But that also depends on how you behave.
Exactly. And I will say, I'm not into brat play at all. Like, I am not even a little bit of a brat. I like to follow rules. It makes me feel safe and comfortable.
Mm-hmm. So, I know after we did sort of play, we had a nice little cuddle on the bed. Is that a standard kind of aftercare
for me, yes.
For the pet play?
For me, yes.
Yeah?
I
Would that be a standard across the board, do you think?
I don't know, to be honest. I've never met any other people who we've been able to have this kind of conversation with.
Yeah, because we know people who are into pet play, but we've not done anything with them in that realm. And we've also not really had the conversations. So I'm not sure. But if I'm basing it off of typical kind of BDSM impact play aftercare, I would say yes. It does seem like it would be very typical. It's kind of the cuddling, the petting, the reassurance that you've done well, you've been good,
yeah.
And just that physical touch. And I know that for both Bradford and I, that physical touch is really important. And that really does kind of build that connection and reestablish that bond.
Well, I find for me, in general, physical touch is grounding.
Yeah.
And after something like that, I need to be grounded. Mm. So I tend to be... I think a good analogy.
It stops that shock of I was doing this and now I'm forced to do this. It cuts that shock out, and it's
for me it does absolutely. Yeah. So for me, I'm very similar to a balloon that you've blown up and you're holding in your hand. And so when we're doing the BDSM play, you're holding this balloon in your hand. You've blown it up. You've not tied it off. You're just holding it. And the second the BDSM play is done, you let go of it and it starts going all up. You know, all over the place.
I so wanted to do that sound.
Go ahead.
No, you did it well.
I see you warming up to it.
The gentleman and I were looking at each other, waiting for it.
You know, but I'm kind of going everywhere, and what I need is that touch that grounds me, that cuddle that brings me back to a reality in which I am now both willing and capable of taken care of addressing. And so yeah, I like that cuddle that mm-hmm. afterwards.
Yeah.
And at that point then I'm open to sex. But it's not like while I'm in puppy mode, I'm not thinking about sex. The last thing I'm thinking about is sex.
And I will say that when you come out of that, the sex is a lot more sensual, a lot more loving. It's a lot gentler. It's not, you don't want the kind of like rough sex. You don't want that edge of BDSM. You want that gentle kind of just almost a reassurance of sex.
I don't even think I would have realized that if yeah. you had asked me what kind of sex I wanted. Yeah. I'm not sure I could have told you, but okay, I believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's more slow and sensual at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, brown chicken, brown cow.
Wait, do it again.
God,
brown chicken.
Yeah, I'm so turned on by that.
Do you find it moving?
Oh.
Or is it?
Yeah, it's gone.
Please, you were utterly turned on. You found my flirtation outstanding in a field.
Bradford,
what?
You've milked it long enough. Oh!
Gold. That was gold.
I love her so much. She's perfect. Oh. Yep. So there you go.
Yeah.
Wait, now who's the cute one?
Yeah.
You're the funny one?
I'm the cute one. Okay. I'm the pretty one.
You're the pretty one.
I have my moments. It's like, you know, once a year.
So I don't know if you guys talked about this at the beginning. I was in the bathroom putting in a butt plug. Yeah, I've been sitting here with a butt plug the whole time.
I know, yeah. I figured.
It's all great.
I should have guessed.
Oh, shut up. honey, you'll reap the rewards. but, you know, so we have people who have told us that the gentleman reminds them of two different animated
characters.
I don't know. Can I call them heroes?
Characters.
Yeah, let's go with heroes.
Angela says characters, so let's stick with characters. The first is one of the characters from Bob's Burgers. Duncan.
Duncan, that's it. Yeah. Yes.
Duncan, the little... Duncan is originally from New Zealand and uses a lot of his...
I'm sure he's Kiwi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they think you're a Kiwi. They are from the States, so give them a break. Okay.
They can't tell the difference between a Kiwi and Australian.
For the record, when I lived in the States, I couldn't tell the difference between somebody from London, somebody from Sydney, and somebody from Wellington. So I'm going to say it. You all looked and sounded the same to me.
It's the difference between thongs and genitals.
Get your jandals on, mate. We're going tramping. jandals are flip-flops. It's don't
so ask. Are thongs. Thongs are flip-flops.
It's really weird.
Thongs are not underwear. I don't get
thongs
it.
Thongs are underwear.
They are, but they're not. They're flip-flops.
No, that's right. So they're thongs.
You people are confusing.
So to tell more about Duncan, some of his trivia facts include he was initially an exchange student, but now permanently lives on King's Head Island. And my absolute favorite, he claimed to have gone through puberty on the plane ride over from New Zealand. Which does sound like you. So, yes.
That's
so
right.
there's a picture of Duncan right there. So
oh, he's a gorgeous specimen.
Yeah, so anybody who does not watch Bob's Burgers, at least Google Duncan Bob's Burgers and see what you come up with.
There's a highlights reel.
Yeah.
So, and the second?
The other thing is, and this is a direct quote from their message that they sent to us on Cassidy. We also absolutely love when the gentleman pops in. It's like when Flexo shows up on Futurama. Oh, sweet baby James.
Is that Bender's arch nemesis?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, look, buddy.
I like that they even sent a link. They sent a link to a video.
To a video.
You guys have the best followers, I swear.
We really do.
I would agree. Yes.
Yeah. So if we look up Flexo on Futurama, he is a bending unit similar to Bender.
Look, similar,
buddy. I'm Bender. You can't be the next Bender. One of my favorite quotes from Flexo. Well, I don't feel as bad as you look, laughs. Nah, I'm just messing with you, kid. You're all right. That's some face you got, though. I think they got a cream for that. Nah, you're great. So, yeah. I will say, mm-hmm. according to FanWikia, Flexo is a minor character.
Okay. I
wonder how long till we get our own
wiki.
Wait.
I think after this podcast comes out, we need a Twitter poll. Is the gentleman more Duncan?
or Flexo?
Or Flexo. Oh,
wow.
Mm-hmm. We need to put it up there.
Yeah, so they're saying you're my evil twin, or you're someone that... what's her face?
Tina.
Tina, thank you. Tina.
Tina's madly in love with.
Is madly in love with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make you Tina?
Maybe.
You're more because I call him A, call him B.
You're more Louise.
Probably.
Yeah.
Although I do like butts.
And zombies. Zombie butts.
Zombie butts.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah
so Flexo Duncan. Dunko Flexo.
Dunko Flexo.
All right. We need a Twitter poll.
I think so.
All right.
Make it happen.
I'll make it happen. With this podcast, we'll have a week-long Twitter poll. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or offer more suggestions.
We have to let people give them a chance.
They could suggest themselves. Who is the gentleman? Yeah. Who is he?
Mm-hmm.
As long as I'm not... Who's the little black demon in Enchanted?
Oh, my God. I love him. He's like a great character.
What is his name?
Lucy.
Yes.
Lucy, yeah.
That's Bean's personal demon.
Right. All right.
Because he's the one that comes up with all the great ideas.
I love him. He's like...
So Duncan,
I think
Flexo.
I'm more of an Elfo. You and I are probably more of an Elfo. Angela's the Lucy here. Let's be realistic.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
You're Bean. Angela's Angela's Lucy. I'm Elfo. What an awkward threesome you make.
I like things.
I mean, I like things. Everything is great. I like things.
Things are great.
Have you tried things?
I just have to interrupt you for a moment and say that I really, really hope that a lot of our listeners watch adult cartoons.
Yeah, because that's basically all we watch.
Because adult cartoons are amazing, and if you don't watch some of these, you should at least check them out and try them.
That's right. You can't be a proper swinger without Adult Swim.
Yeah.
All right. Should we wrap this mother up?
Yeah, we can do that.
I'm sure there's other things that we can find to do.
I think so.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I'm sure people at home would like to for us to leave the microphones on.
Yeah, and how's that butt plug going?
It's,
Well, this is where the people at home are wishing it was a vlog.
Oh, that's fair enough. Yeah. Yeah. Like, let me take the butt plug out.
Well, it's more like... Boof.
I need this. What I need is a big fish that I can just throw on the table to make that sound, that big wet sound. Like only a large fish can make that sound.
Oh my god.
So send in your opinions of whether the gentleman is Duncan or Flexo or Dunko or Elfo or Lucy. Maybe Archer. Actually, he's more of a Cyril. I can't even come over there. Hey! Cyril has a massive cock, dude. Just saying. He sometimes puts it in a Snickers wrapper, but it's still massive. So send in your questions, comments, and rude remarks to theatomsoflove@gmail.com or on Twitter, Instagram, and the Facebooks at By The By Podcast. Support us in only way you know how, which might be patreon.com/ByTheByPodcast. And where can people find you?
On Twitter, _gentleman79.
_gentleman79.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that's how many cartoon characters he resembles. 79 of them. Speedy Gonzalez, Wile E. Coyote, He-Man. By the power of Grayskull, I have the power! Yeah, so there you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So let's go play Sword in the Stone.
Yeah.
You want to rock?
Let's go play Skeletor.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Mr. Pent, co-host of Life on the Swing Set, and you're listening to a Swing Set Network podcast on swingset.fm.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.